Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're hearing so many wonderful stories as Jesus is resurrected and Jesus will, as we celebrate it, soon ascend into heaven. But right now, when Jesus has left this earth, you look around here in the Acts of the Apostles, and you see all of them going out. They know they can't stay where they are, that they are compelled to preach the gospel. They're compelled to preach the message of what they heard. They're compelled. Are you compelled? Do you want people to know the truth? Do you want to see the mourning that people go through because of sin in this world? Do you want to see it changed into joy? Do you want to see people who are despairing be given hope? Do you want to see people who are starved for any kind of care or love? Do you want to see what God can do through you for them? Don't close yourself into your little, neat, tidy little world, if you have one. Don't close yourself in. Say, Lord, how do you want to use me? And these days of Easter, the Easter celebration, we've got 50 days of celebration. We're still there. It's not just a one-day event. It's a lifetime change. Are you opening your heart, as you read these readings, are you opening your heart to see how the early disciples respond? Jesus is taken up into heaven. They could have sat around mourning and weeping that Jesus left them, but they felt impelled to go out and pass on the message. So should we. Give God time and watch how he leads you. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 13 to 25. From Paphos, Paul and his companions set sail and arrived at Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. They continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath, they entered into the synagogue and took their seats. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent word to them, "My brothers, if one of you has a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." So Paul got up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Fellow children of Israel, and you others who are God-fearing, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our ancestors and exalted the people during their sojourn in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arm, he led them out, and for about 40 years he put up with them in the desert. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance at the end of about 450 years. After these things, he provided judges up to Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Then he removed him and raised up David as their king. Of him he testified, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish.' From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet.'" And so in this passage from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear a kind of summary of what's gone on for a long time among the people. And now he's saying, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he." Who is speaking here? Who's speaking here? John the Baptist. "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he." Because they thought maybe this was the Messiah. And he said, "I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me, and I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet." Look, brothers and sisters, look at the respect. Look at the reverence. Look at the willingness to obey. They all had had their questions. Where are you? Do you read the scriptures? Do you mull over them? Do you take to heart what applies to you personally? Do you repent of your sin? Do you seek to follow him more closely? Does your life, is it engaged with all those with whom you worship? Is it engaged in the relationships that you have, relationships of love and of friendship? Are you who you're supposed to be? Are you who you are gifted to be by the grace of God? Are you opening your heart? Jesus, help me. Jesus, I want to become more like you. Jesus, teach me. Jesus, help me. Lead me to the Father. Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. Over and over and over again, we pray those small, simple prayers, or you can pray longer ones if you wish. But praying that way daily opens your heart to God. We think we're listening to God, but our hearts in many ways are closed because we still have patterns of sin in our life that we like, frankly. I ought to give this up someday, but we don't. And those sins, those patterns of sin, keep God at a distance because he cannot dwell with that which is evil. So we're not perfect, but God sees that when we ask for forgiveness, we're covered with mercy. And when we're covered with mercy, we can be drawn closer to God because when God forgives, God really does let it go. You're gifted. So follow him. Follow him more and more closely. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm to pray. The favors of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. For you have said, my kindness is established forever. In heaven you have confirmed your faithfulness. Oh, brothers and sisters, the psalm goes on to say, my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and through my name shall his horn be exalted. He shall say of me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. We're called into that family. We're called into that unity with our Savior, with our Father, with the power and working of the Holy Spirit, who is the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. That's who is the Holy Spirit. I know I'm saying things I've said before, but I want you to get them. Get them from your head to your heart. By that I mean, once they engage your heart, then you're going to be willing to put forth some energy. And you're going to be willing to make some decisions that God can draw closer to you. Decisions to turn away from sin. Decisions to follow Christ more closely. Decisions to look at your lifestyle. To look at the people with whom you associate. Is this good? Does this bring you closer to the Lord? Don't think you can make yourself holy. You can't. Only God can make you holy. But when we have people around us who encourage us, a lot of things can happen much more quickly. We take a look at the Gospel of John, John 13, verses 16 to 20. When Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I am not speaking of all of you. I know those whom I have chosen. But so that the scripture might be fulfilled, the one who ate my food has raised his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am He is the fullness of life, the fullness of existence. He is total being. There's nothing of death in him, as there is in all of us. He is the fullness of life. And that's what he wants us to share in. The gospel continues, I know those whom I have chosen, but so that the scripture might be fulfilled, the one who ate my food has raised his heel against me. He's speaking obviously of Judas. From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am. I'm over all this death. I'm more powerful than the betrayal against me. I am more powerful than the cross. I am the living Son of God. I am the fullness of life. And he goes on to say, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. More and more and more, the body of Christ is being called to be together. We're not scattered little fragments over the face of the earth, though it can seem like that. But if we pray for one another, if we make friends with one another, through the radio program, I have the great privilege of getting to know brothers and sisters in so many parts of the world. And no matter what our language, no matter what our culture, we have the same hopes and dreams and desires. We all deal with sin. We really are brothers and sisters in one family, even if we speak different languages, even if our cultures are different. If we are rooted in Christ, if the family of God is really our family first and foremost, then we come to see how deep and rich and wide is the love of God. And how much he wants to bind us together, both for our support and our encouragement and our help, but also that he may be seen and known and loved by many. Religion is not private. It really isn't. The work of your soul can be private with God, but where you worship and how you worship and why you worship, you should be able to speak about. People need to know what you believe. No sermons, but a well-placed sentence or two several times until they begin to ask you questions. There are all kinds of ways of reaching people, reaching their minds and hearts. We're so self-protective these days because we don't know who we can trust. We're so self-protective, and we find it hard to share with somebody the reality of what's going on in our lives. Certainly share it with God in prayer, but then ask God to give you good friends who can help you to run the race. May God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.